This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Tonight, a couple weeks ago, Pastor asked me to share in our series on mind games, and I said I would love to do that because I love talking about our minds, how God renews us and transforms our minds. And so tonight I'm going to sit down with you, if that's all right. A couple of reasons, because I'm going to do a little bit more teaching tonight. And the other reason is the other day I was out running, jogging, and I sprained my left knee. So if you don't mind, I might relax a little bit with you instead of kind of hobbling around a little bit on that knee. But man, I've been looking forward to tonight. What a great church we have. And God is doing amazing things here. So if you're visiting tonight, we welcome you to stop by the Welcome Center and after service and just ask any question you have. We have great folks that work and volunteer there. Speaking of volunteering, Pastor sent out a little pledge for our flood cleanup project that we've been doing the last couple of weeks, and it wraps up this week. And I just want to give you an update on that. So far, we have helped 36 homes. And over 306 hours, you guys have volunteered. Yeah, let's give the Lord a hand for that. Good job, guys. Appreciate each of you getting out there and working and helping people out with that. Speaking of which, I know a couple guys that were out of jobs. And they said, you know what, I'm going to sow some seed and go volunteer to help clean up. And I believe that's seeds I can sow while I'm out of my job. So I think that's great. And so let's give those guys a hand as well. And gals, a couple gals as well. We have such great volunteers here at the church. And we appreciate each and every one of you, especially that project. Speaking of those that were without jobs, just a real quick plug. And that is that in a couple weeks, July, I think the first week in July, we're going to start a support group here for Between Jobs Ministry, it's called. And in conjunction with the church down in Spring that has a Between Jobs Ministry. And we're asking you to go down there for their first couple introductory meetings. And if you're without a job or know somebody without a job, what a great place to get plugged in and connected in. And about 500 people every Wednesday morning go to that place, get kind of equipped, encouraged, build up. And there's workshops for them. And then we're going to have a support group here in Conroe for that and right here at our church. So if you're without a job, get on our website, check it out, or talk to me or one of our adult ministry leaders, and we'd love to direct you in that direction. How many know we're the body of Christ? We're here to pray for one another, build each other up, encourage one another when people are down. Is that right? So if you're without a job, I know what that was like. I moved back from California, pastoring there, to back to Pennsylvania without a job. So I have a heart for those people, and so that's why we're creating this and getting involved in it and stretching out for you guys. All right? Is that good? All right, well, tonight I'm going to talk about the enemy's mind games. Did anybody ever play mind games with you? Somebody, yeah, really? Tonight, before I walked in here, right? I've been married 33 years, and my wife Joyce, and when we first met, I used to play some mind games with her. You know what I mean? Just kind of trying to say different things. And she said, well, you know what? I think we did, bum, 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 bum. I said, no, we never did that. Are you sure we didn't? No, we didn't. I mean, I would always just kind of play mind games with just to see if it would just twist her up a little bit. I know I need prayer. Help me, okay? No one else is like me, but just kind of having some fun. And now she knows why I'm doing that and teasing her and doing all that stuff. But how many know the enemy wants to play mind games with us? So there's a battle waging in our minds. How many know we can receive good thoughts into our minds, and we can receive what? Negative and bad thoughts into our minds as well. So the battle is on about our minds. And if we control them, whoever controls the mind controls the rest of us. Because I believe what we think about, we then believe in our hearts about, and then we have action upon. So what you think about, what you believe about, what you're meditating on, what is coming into your mind over and over and over again, you shouldn't believe that either about yourself or about your circumstances. And then we then respond according to what we then have thought and believed. And our response is out of that. So Pastor's been doing this series about mind games, and I'm just going to talk about the enemy's mind games, because I believe they're out there. In fact, one time I was playing mind games with Joyce, and this was years and years and years ago, early in our marriage, early 80s, when we were youth pastors, our first youth ministry that we had, our first job as pastors of a small little church, and we decided to take the kids on a whitewater rafting trip. Anybody been whitewater rafting? A lot of fun, okay? So we decided to do that, and Joyce says, first thing I said, she goes, what did you plan that for? I said, because it's going to be fun. We're going to take the guys out and the kids, and we're just going to have a blast going whitewater rafting. We were living in Pennsylvania at the time, so we went up to the Pocono Mountains and wanted to go whitewater rafting. I mean, about 3 weeks before, she just started to drill me on whitewater rafting. She goes, oh, man, you know, I went whitewater rafting one time, and there was waterfalls 100 feet high, and we fell off these waterfalls, and, man, it was so dangerous. And she just was working up in her mind already negative thoughts about whitewater rafting. So, the kind, gracious husband that I am, I decided to go along with it. So when we got to the site where they gave us instructions, everybody, we got in these groups, and there was only two girls on the trip. And they both got on my raft, my wife and one teenage girl. The rest were guys. The girls didn't want anything to do with whitewater rafting, so we just took a group of guys. We had about four rafts, a bunch of us in there. And the guides are telling us, the instructors are going, now this is what you do in case you hit a rock or something and you fall out. They tell you, don't stand on the rock. Just go with the water. Lay back on your, life raft jackets and just, let the water take you down through. And so the guy's in his little kayak there, and I happened to get a hold of him beforehand. I said, come up to my raft and tell us there's this very dangerous waterfall. And he goes, what? I said, no, just come on, play with me. Come on, do this thing. Because my wife, she has just been terrified of this. In her mind, she's worked up this thing. And so he comes paddling up. He goes, now remember, when we get to that waterfall. And he and I are playing off it, and her eyes get like sauce. I mean, she was already fearing this whole trip. Once you know it, the very first rapids we get to, we're streaming down through there, and we hit the first bunch of boulders. And I mean, both girls, boom, boom, right out of the raft. I mean, just like that. Man, the very first one. I mean, they weren't holding on. Boom, they were out. And what does my wife do? She grabs hold of the boulder. The thing that he told her not to do. And she's standing up. She's going, I told you we're all going to die. It's gonna be, blah, blah. She's going down through and just giving me the what fors. And I'm sitting there. I'm about dying. And I picked up the girl that was next to me, put her in, and she actually broke her arm. But, that wasn't funny. But poor girl on that. But Joyce was all right. So every time we got to the waterfalls and down the rapids and all this, and guess what? No waterfalls at all. We got to the end. She goes, you had me terrified the whole time. And it didn't even happen the way I thought it was going to happen. How many of that ever happens to you? A thought comes in your mind. Maybe it's a negative thing. And you just play it over and over and over and over and over again. And you think, man, it's the worst outcome is going to come into your life. And you play the scene out. How many of you have ever played the whole scene out in your minds? Do you know what I mean? The whole thing went bad. I mean, it all went down. And so you're playing it out. Ooch, 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 ooch. You're playing it out. Sit down, okay? You're playing it out in your minds, and you're looking at it and going, all right, this is going to be terrible. And then what happens, and it's what? It doesn't ever work out as bad as you think it does. Isn't that correct? So we're going to look at this. What does it mean to have a positive mindset, to play these war games in our minds? I came across this article. I'm going to read it to you. I don't like to do that all the time, but I thought it was just very appropriate for tonight. It's called The Strangest Secret, written by Earl Nightingale. It says, we become what we think about. It says, how does it work? Why do we become what we think about? Well, I'll tell you how it works. As far as you know, to do this, I want to tell you about a situation that paralyzed the human mind. Suppose a farmer has some land, and it's good, fertile land. The land gives the farmer a choice. He may plant in the land whatever he chooses. The land doesn't care. It's up to the farmer to make the decision. Now, we're comparing the human mind with the land because the mind, like the land, doesn't care what you plant in it. It will return what you plant, but it doesn't care what you plant. Now, let's say that the farmer has two seeds. In his one hand is the seed of corn. The other is nightshade, a deadly poison. He digs two little holes in the earth, and he plants both seeds, one corn, the other nightshade. He covers up the holes, waters it, takes care of the land. And what will happen? Invariably, the land will return what was planted. As it is written in the Bible, as you sow, so shall you reap. Remember, the land doesn't care. It will return poison in just as wonderful abundance as it will corn. So up from come from the two plants, one corn, one poison. Well, the human mind is far more fertile, far more incredible and mysterious than the land. But it works the same way. It doesn't care what we plant, success or failure, concrete, worthwhile goals are confusion, misunderstanding, fear, anxiety, and so on. But what we plant must return to us. You see, the human mind is the last great unexplored continent on earth. It contains riches beyond our wildest dreams. It will return anything we want to plant. Isn't that good? Think about that as I share it tonight. So what do you think about? We think about positive and negative things. What you think about, you believe and have action upon. Let me illustrate it out this way a little bit. If I think positive things about my spouse, guess what I'm going to treat her like? What I'm thinking about her. If I think, man, Joyce is bum, 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 and all the positive things and wonderful things and just a tremendous helpmate and all the rest of the things, guess what? If I think that over and over again, man, I am so lucky to be married to her. I am so fortunate, man. She is a wonderful woman, and truly, this is how I think, okay? And so if I think that over and over and over and over again, positive things about my wife, guess what? I believe that about her. When I see her, guess what? I am, what, got a great relationship with her because it's what I've thought about, what I've dwelled on it. Now, take the reverse of that. If I think negative things about my spouse over and over and over and over and over again, guess what I soon start believing? I start believing those what? Negative thoughts about my spouse. How am I going to treat my spouse if I have negative thoughts continue to fill my mind? I'm going to treat her what? In a negative way. In a hard way. In a tough way. Because what? I fed my mind on negative things. Is this making sense to you guys? So what we feed our minds is so vitally important. That's why there's a battlefield for your mind, a battle waging against your mind. You ever go driving down the road, and you're just driving down the road, you're cruising, and all of a sudden a bad negative thought comes into your mind? I see some of you go, yes, tonight on the highway getting here, right? Sometimes that just happens. How many know you can be thinking good godly thoughts? You can have even Christian radio on or even a teaching tape going on. And the negative bad influence, bad thought comes into your mind. A destructive thought. An evil thought. Maybe a rebellious thought or maybe even a lustful thought comes into your mind. And you're just driving. You're just, well, how did that happen? I'm just what? Driving down the road. Minding my own business. And all of a sudden these thoughts come in. You can even be walking out of church tonight, and how many know you can have what? A bad thought just penetrate you. So what do you do with that? How do you handle those situations? God gives some great instruction in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to unpack a couple of these words for you. Let's look at them. It says this, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not with the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have the divine power to demolish strongholds." I'm going to talk about strongholds tonight. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every single thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now, God wouldn't have said that in the Word if it wasn't possible. Everybody agree? Taking every thought captive. I mean, the ones that I'm going down the road and they're bad thoughts and evil thoughts and maybe lustful thoughts or revengeful thoughts that are coming into my mind and my spirit. Boy, I was wrong today and I'm going to get them back. How many of those things come into our hearts and our minds? But God says, I can take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So let's unpack this a little bit. Let's look at a couple of the words. Let's look at this waging war, what it means. This really means spiritual warfare when it talks about waging war. The word war means strategia. It means military warfare, fighting with guided strategy. It means it's very intentional. How many, when I think about that, it's very, very intentional battle that's going on. The enemy wants to rob, kill, and destroy you. He wants to destroy your relationships, wants to destroy your marriage, wants to destroy you, your finances. He has a job to do, and it's out to destroy you. Do you realize that? John 10:10 talks about that. So he's very intentional about it. So there's intentionality that's going on for your mind's control of that and my mind's. So that's the strategia, the strategy. That's the waging war. The next word I want to look at is demolish. Demolish means this, katharia. It means to lower with violence. How many know that? That's a pretty aggressive term, right? To lower with violence. A couple guys, I saw some preachers, they wanted to illustrate this one time, and this was years ago. And they went up, took a bunch of watermelons up 10 flights into an apartment complex and went up on the roof. And they went to the edge of the roof. They wanted to say, this is what it means to demolish the strongholds. This is what it means to have things that are going on in our lives to demolish. And they took these watermelons. Now picture this. Everybody get it in your minds? And they tossed it off the roof, 10 stories. And it comes down, and you know what happened, right? splattered. I mean, splashed everywhere. I mean, seeds, everything. It was totally demolished. I mean, gone. That's what this word means. You know what we do with these thoughts? We got to be aggressive about those thoughts that come into our minds. We got to say, I want to demolish them. I want to take them down. And then, man, that's a bad thought. Guess what? Every thought you can either entertain or you can demolish. It's your choice. It's my choice. If somebody wrongs me, guess what? I have a choice when I start thinking how I'm going to get revenge on them. I can play that over and over and over again, and I can really, really build a case. How many of you have ever been there? Right? That's your choice. You can let that eat your lunch, or you can have it, what? Every thought captive. So picture that watermelon and just going when you have a thought and going, I want to destroy that. Okay? That's what it means by demolishing that. Now let's look at this word stronghold, okay? I want to look back on the screen, if we will. This word stronghold, it says we demolish what? Strongholds, the thoughts, those things that come into our lives. Now what's a stronghold? Okoria is the Greek word for it. It says to fortify. It's like a strong castle. Or I like how they talk about this, a prisoner locked by deception. Those are strong words, a stronghold. A stronghold could be a lingering addiction or a habit. So why do you think we need to attack the strongholds? One of the reasons the Bible talks about we can pass on strongholds or addictions or habits from generation to generation. Have you ever seen that in families? From generation to generation. How many know good can come out of that too? Good things can come generation to generation. But sometimes our strongholds, our addictions, our habits go to generation to generation. So one reason to really tackle these strongholds is to break generational curses. Now let me just talk to you just for a minute or two about my family tree. I've been in ministry for 33 years. First male in either side of my family that ever went to college. First one ever graduated from college as well. But went to college. And I remember growing up in my household. My family, if you look at my dad's side, he has one brother and older brother. And at my dad's side. And my mom and dad, when I was 2 years old, came to Christ. They were first generation Christians. Nobody on either side of our family tree ever went to church. None of them went to church. They didn't understand God. They had no belief in that. My mom and dad, when I was 2 years old and I was diagnosed with an illness and dying in the hospital, they went back to the house. The doctor said, man, there's really no hope for your son. I want you to just go back and get ready for the worst. And so my mom and dad went back home that night. And my mom says, listen, God, if you, even a God out there, if you will heal my son, I'll serve you the rest of my day. And I believe that I will surrender my life to you if you will heal my son. Within 20 minutes, my mom just saying that prayer. Didn't know. Phone rang. The doctor says, you know what? I think he's going to make it. We found a vein in his body that we can intravenously feed him. And I have scars all over my body where they tried to find places that were alive that they could feed me to keep me alive. Those scars are a reminder of my spiritual heritage. So every time I look at one, I look at it and say, man, my mom and dad started a spiritual heritage in our household. So I remember after that, man, my mom was true to her word, man. She dug in, gave her heart to Christ. My dad followed after that. And man, I remember coming home from school, and this is years later, my mom really dug into the word of God, says, I don't know anything about God. So they started going to our little Methodist church right down the street, started getting into got our Bible. She started getting into the Bible. And every day I'd come home from school, she'd go like this, her little finger, before I could go out and play. She'd go, Bobby, come here. I have to go over there. And she'd have scripture and she'd have it highlighted and underlined. And this is a promise for you. And she just really got us into the word of God. And all of a sudden, one by one, we saw family members coming to Christ because of my mom and my dad and the example they had. And now I have two older sisters myself. My two older sisters, my one has four children, all of them serving God. My other sister has a son serving God, married his wife serving God. We have two daughters, both serving God, loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind. It started with one generation going, we're going to break the curse. Because let me tell you the other side of the story. My father's brother, he was the one that owned all the bars in town. Alcohol is huge in our household. Or huge, not our household, but in our family tree. And I saw my dad early in his life break that off of him. Say, you know what? I'm no longer going to go there. I'm breaking because I'm going to serve God. And he surrenders life. No, I never saw my dad drinking a drink in his life. But I knew it was there early in his marriage, when I was a young kid, because they would tell stories. But my uncle on the other side, I have a cousin my age. He's been in and out of jail, drug addictions and alcoholism, all you name it. In fact, a couple years ago, I went back, did my grandmother's funeral. Of course, I do all the weddings and funerals as the family pastor, right? They don't go to church, so they always call me to do it. I went back, did my grandmother's funeral, and I could sit there, and I vividly remember this the rest of my life. I was sitting there, or standing there, doing the funeral, and I looked out, and my mom and dad's side, and all of my sisters over on this side, and the cousins and stuff, and then my Uncle Bill's side. I looked, and you could see hardship on them. You could almost see it. I can see the generational curse that was broken off of our household and off of our thing from what my mom and dad did. Those strongholds of alcoholism were broken when my dad gave his heart to Christ and said, no longer, it's not going to be part of our family. It's not going to be part of our heritage. Amen. That's the power of God. That's demolishing strongholds and what God can do. So why do we need to demolish strongholds? For our own sake, but also for the sake of what? Generation to generation. Let me just talk about it this way. And Ephesians 6 talks about it this way. It says, finally, it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can stand against the devil's schemes. You know, there is a devil, right? Some of you need to understand that because there's either two thoughts. One thought is, man, the devil's in everything. Another thought is the devil's not even real. I may have ever seen the devils in everything. You know the guys that are devils in everything? These are the ones, man, they go to the dry cleaner and the dry cleaner's lost. They're dry and clean and they go, oh, the devil stole my dry cleaning. You know, devils in everything. Or, man, they go to the soda machine and put the quarters in or whatever and they try to pop it and the soda doesn't come out. Oh, the devil stole my soda, you know. Devils in everything. You got the philosophy. Then you got the there's no devil philosophy. I like what C.S. Lewis said about that. He says, we overestimate or underestimate spiritual warfare. Everything is either the devil or nothing is the devil. Then C.S. Lewis went on and says, the devil likes it when we underbelieve or overbelieve as long as we don't Bible believe. Now that was worth coming for tonight, all right? I'm going to say it one more time. C.S. Lewis quote, the devil likes it when we underbelieve or overbelieve as long as we don't Bible believe. How many know the devil is real? The battle for you is real. Begins in our minds. So how do we renew our minds? How do we demolish these strongholds? I'm going to give you three things here as we wrap up. Three things to renew our minds and demolish these strongholds. Number one, recognize the enemy's lies. Recognize the enemy's lies. It says in John 8:44, when he, the devil, lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I'm going to give you another quote here. It says, a lie believed as truth will affect your life as if it were true. One more time for you, okay? I know it's getting later, all right? Here we go. A lie that we believe as truth will affect your life as if it were true. So what lies have you believed about yourself or about your circumstances? What things are you entertaining in your own mind? Lies that the enemy is throwing at you and you're believing it about yourself and you're believing it and you're operating your life as if that lie is true versus what the Word of God says about you and your promise and your circumstances and your future. Well, let me illustrate it this way. Early in our marriage, Joyce and I, we started believing a lie. We started having a worldview of finances versus a God view. And we started getting major debt and using credit card. And at that time, we weren't making much money. So, I mean, it felt like, all right, we're just justified. We need to do this to survive. And so, man, we got ourselves into major debt. And as that major debt started mounting, we said, well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else has got debt. We know this person, that person, everybody else. It's no big deal. And soon we were overcome by the debt that we began to have. And it started to control our lives, what we could do and what we couldn't do. And instead of us being master over our money, guess what? Money was master over our lives. And so it got really bad. And so we started to buy that lie. And all of a sudden, those things were feeding us. And, oh, it's okay. Everybody else is doing it. Yeah, we just need that thing. We were buying a lie big time. Hook, line, and sinker. And that's what we were doing. We were sinking further and further in debt. And as we sunk further and further in debt, man, we saw no future, no hope to get out. So the lie that the enemy has is what? Worldview versus a God view of finances. And we bought that lie and we lived that lie. And we were living that lie till we said, enough is enough. We're going to take and we're going to demolish this stronghold in our lives. So we got the financial watermelon out and we said, you know what? We're going to go to the top of the roof and we're going to throw this down and we're going to see it demolished. And so 8 years it took us, but we got totally out of debt in 8 years using godly principles that God said in His Word. In fact, we followed the principles to the T. I mean, we live like no one else, as Dave Ramsey says, now, so we can live like no one else later, right? And so we decided, but it was a mindset. It had to change in our minds. We were believing a lie, and we said, we're not going to believe that lie anymore. So we recognized it was a lie, as a worldly viewpoint, not a godly viewpoint. We said, oh, we need to change. I mean, that's all of us, probably areas of our lives that strongholds have hold of us. And we go, you know what? We just got to realize enough's enough. It's time to do something about it. Recognize the lies that the enemy has given to you over your life, over your situation, over yourself. And you begin to what? Change it by the next thing. And that is resist the enemy. We recognize the enemy's lies. Then secondly, we resist the enemy and all his lies. James says this in James 4:7. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. When I say the word resist, is that a passive word? No, it's what? It's got to be an aggressive word, resisting him. It's like in a football, man, when you're going to tackle somebody and the running back resists by doing a what? Stiff arm. Remember that in football? Man, the stiff arm, it bounces off of him. It'd be easy if I'm a running back and I just sat there with the ball like this and the tacklers would come and just tackle me. How many know that'd be a pretty silly game, wouldn't it? There's no resistance to that. There's just, I got the ball, come tackle me. Everybody jump on me, pal on, it's okay. I can take the beating. But you know what? Spiritually, that's sometimes what we do. The enemy comes on, bombards us, fills our minds, fills our spirits with wrong things. And what do? We sit back and we just go, okay, that's my lot in life. Boom, pow on. Boom, pow on. It says we need to what? Resist the enemy. Let me illustrate it this way. Years ago when I was youth pastor and I had a bunch of guys that they used to love to just tackle me and kind of get rough with me because we were kind of into sports. And this is when I was about 25 pounds heavier back then, and had a little bit more muscle mass, and we used to have swim parties, pool parties, and I get in the pool, of course, and the kids wanted to always dunk the youth pastor, right? Let's get the youth pastor, you know. And so we had a great relationship. They were, and these guys would just powing on me, grab me at the neck, doing all the things, and man, I resisted with all my might. I said, I'm not going under. I mean, I remember fighting these guys off, and some of these guys play high school football, so they're big boys, and I'm tossing them out, and I'm doing all this stuff. Man, we were battling for a long, long time. Man, they try to grab your legs and then swim underneath, and I'm patting them and push them away. Guess what I'm doing? I'm resisting. I'm not going to go down without a fight. I'm going to fight. These boys aren't going to win. There is no way in the world I'm going to be dunked by these high school kids, you know, and I'm resisting them, tossing them off. Man, I'm getting exhausted in doing it, but I wasn't going to let them get me. I remember a couple times, man, it was two or three of them grabbing me by the neck and doing that. I'm just standing, as Ephesians talked about, standing firm. Stand firm. Resist. Guys, that's sometimes what it needs to take. Sometimes we need to be aggressive on it. Sometimes we need to go, get away, Satan, man, I'm resisting and you're going to flee. As I'm doing this, guess what's going to happen? You're going to flee from me. You don't have to take it from them. You don't have to entertain those things. You can resist the enemy, and it says, he will flee. So what do? We get aggressive. So recognize the lies from the enemy, because man, the enemy's throwing some lies at you. So the enemies are putting something on your life, saying you won't amount to anything, and you're no good, man. It's bad things are going on, and you're going to happen in your life over and over and over again. Then we resist those things. And the third one is this. We renew your mind with the truth. Renew your mind with the truth. And this is what Pastor's been teaching you on Wednesday nights in this series, how to renew your mind with the truth. I love Romans 12:2. It says this, says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. That's transformation takes place. I once was, now I'm going to do this. I once believed the lie, now I'm going to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. I'm going to take those things and I'm going to do like the water. I'm going to what? Demolish those strongholds, those evil thoughts, those wrong things in my life so I can live victorious in Christ. So how do we renew our minds? Pastor's been teaching us about what? Getting the Word of God in us. So you need to replace the lies, those negative thoughts, with God thoughts. You need to speak the Word of God over your life and agree with His Word. You need to speak some declarations over your life. I told you a little earlier about our financial lie that we believed in our family. And I could go over many, many, many others, but I just thought I'd use that as an illustration because I wanted to bring out our faith declaration, our faith confession that Joyce and I put together and we lived on. I want to read a little section of that for you tonight because I think it'll help you. I think it'll bring it all home and you'll say, yeah, I get that. It's how we broke that over our lives and disciplined ourselves after we recognized that it was a lie for the enemy. Then we resisted the enemy all the time because how many know as soon as you say, man, I'm going to get out of debt, guess what's going to happen to you? The refrigerator's going to break. This is going to happen. And you're going to go, see, it doesn't matter. Everything we've done, it's not going to work anyhow. Anybody ever have that happen? Well, all of a sudden, we started living by these principles and living by these things. And all of a sudden, extra money started to come in our bank account somehow, some way. So what? And all of a sudden, we had an extra $300. And guess what? The microwave breaks. And guess what? The bill was $300. And all of a sudden, we had an extra check come in for this situation or that, and it was $255, and something else broke, and guess what we had the money for? To fix exactly the things that we didn't before. But let me give you this faith declaration and confession that we did. We said this, my words are the faith containers that carry seeds, remember the farmer, the seeds, into the spirit realm to be planted in rich, fertile soil, where in time they will produce an abundant harvest in my life. I do not need to concern myself with how it will happen or be accomplished. I need only to meditate, think on what I want so I can actually see it in my spirit coming to pass in my life and then to continue to confess it with certainty until it manifests. My words either set me free or put me into bondage. I choose to be totally set free and to not toil any longer and stay focused with belief and certainty that I can have what I have and say I have, calling on the name of the Lord as though it were. Faith declaration. And then we listed like 20 scriptures that we started standing on and believing on. We began to replace the lie. We resisted the enemy. And we stood on faith going, you know what? I need to transform my mind and our mindset on this whole thing about finances. And you know what happened? Time after time after time, we saw the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God, the hand of God. We stood strong and firm. And guess what? If Bob and Joyce can do it, you guys can do it with your strongholds to demolish and see it broken in the powerful name of Jesus. It says what? It's not in what we did. It's what? In the powerful name of Jesus. So what do? We break it with the word of God. We break it in prayer. We break it in prayer. One of the things early in this year, Pastor challenged us to do was to what? Pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, ever since he did that, I've been praying it 5 times a day. And I'm watching this. There's been transformation happening in my spirit. There's been transformation happening in my life. And I read his book, 21 Seconds to Victory and to Restoration, that Mark Rutland talked about when he came here to preach about it. And those 21 seconds, in that book, it talks about people that had addictions and people that had habits that began to do that prayer over and over again, 5 times a day. And by 2 or 3 months into it, all of a sudden those addictions were falling down beside them. No longer had a stronghold on them, but they were being set free. How many know the Word of God transforms us also what? Through prayer. So I want to challenge you to do that. Challenge you to get in the Word of God. I want to challenge you to begin to do that Lord's Prayer. Watch the things, the chains that bind you. Remember, it said it was like a prisoner that is attached. You ever feel like you're chained? You ever feel like you're just kind of bound? You ever feel like, man, am I ever going to break free? How many of you, God wants you to live in freedom? God wants you to be set free. And in fact, it says in this, John 8:32, it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What's dominating your mind? What are you dwelling on? What is it you need to demolish and set free? How many know you have the power inside of you? If Jesus is inside of you, you have the power to demolish the strongholds that the enemy wants to throw. Because there's a battle for your mind and my mind. It's a daily battle. It's almost an every minute battle. It's a battle that's going to go, you know what? There's waging war against you. I don't know. If somebody's going to wage war on me, I'm going to wage it back and go, you know what? I'm going to come against the enemy and his attacks and those things that come into my mind. I'm going to take captive as much as I can by the Word of God, by praying it through, and believing God for great mighty things. Because he can break the chains and set us free. Amen? Let's close our eyes in prayer. I know it's a lot to chew on tonight, but I wanted you to chew on some of the word tonight of understanding these spiritual warfare that we're actually in for your life and for my life. And I want you to know, man, God can break that tonight in a powerful way. He can set you free. So tonight I'm going to pray a prayer for you that have strongholds in your life. Those of you that have maybe some addictions or habits or something, man, maybe the enemy's playing mind games with you, and it's over and over and over again. It's negative thoughts, or maybe it's just some things that you just want to get rid of in there. I just want you to slip up your hand real high. I want to pray over you that you're battling with some mind games. I just want to take some time and just really pray a prayer, faith prayer. Yeah, man, all over the place. Mind games. Mind games. Yeah, come on. Anybody else? This is your time, man. God will see it. God's going to walk in you. Come on. It's a step of faith. God, I'm stepping out in faith. Yeah, all over the place. All over the place. Let's pray. Come on, let's join together. Come on, church family, just begin to pray the name of Jesus that God will break these things. God, I pray right now by the power that is in our lives to demolish strongholds, the power of Jesus' name, that you will break the strongholds over each and every one of these situations. Lord, we choose to take that stronghold like the watermelon up to the top of the 10th floor, and we begin to throw that down. We want to see it demolished, totally eliminated off of lives and hearts, Lord God. Regardless what the stronghold is tonight, I pray and come against it in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. We bring down those strongholds. And we know that, as John 8:32 says, as the truth comes into us, it's going to set us free. So tonight I say that the truth will set us free. If you need to begin to put that into your mind right now, those that raise your hand, just say, the truth will set me free. Just begin to repeat that 5 times in your mind. The truth will set me free. The truth will set me free. The truth will set me free. Free. I want to be free indeed. So tonight we pray that over those folks that raise their hand and many others, Lord God, the battle for our minds and our spirits. So God, we pray and we come against the enemy and we resist him and we stand strong in the word and in prayer. So God, we pray that in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Now as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, tonight you might have come in here and you've never given your heart to God. You never said, man, I surrender everything to Jesus. Tonight's your night. You're just sitting there and you just sense the Holy Spirit just tugging at you. That's the Holy Spirit saying, tonight's your night. Tonight's your night to surrender your heart to life. Or maybe you've served him or received him earlier in your life, and maybe it's just time to come back to God. If maybe it's you're returning to the Lord. If that's you tonight, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to have a prayer with you as well. If tonight's your night, you may not want to give my heart to Christ, or I want to come back to the Lord. Yep, on the back. Thanks, buddy. Anybody else? Tonight's your night. Just sensing it from the Holy Spirit that God wants to move in your heart, your life. Yeah, you can put your hands down. Let's pray, everybody in the church. Let's pray this prayer real loud tonight. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord. As my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. He's good, breaking those chains, doing all the things. God is good.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.